So tell me, how do you think the economy is doing every time you have to visit the grocery store?
And guess what? Bidenomics is working.
Bidenomics is working.
Say what?
Probably should not have said that.
We can't afford 4 more years of this.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you to the Thursday edition of Truth to Ponder. I'm your host, Bob Bierman. We're doing a little bit better today. As some of you remember from yesterday, my voice was out and I felt terrible, and it was not an easy program to produce. We've come a long way in 48 hours, so I'm feeling a whole lot better. Somebody said maybe you had
COVID-19,
but honestly, I have my doubts. Like I said, this came on rather quickly on Monday afternoon late. I felt pretty good on Monday, got a lot of work done. We were getting an antenna installed on a tower and got home and had a lot of other work to do. And I just felt kind of tired on Monday night. And then, you know, Tuesday I got up and I felt really bad. And then you heard the program that was recorded yesterday. And today we got up feeling a lot better. My wife and I were thinking, what's been different that could have bought this on so easy? Normally, I'm pretty, well, I don't get colds and flu or things like that easy, unless I'm tired. And these past several months, with some of the surgeries that I've been through and treatments, I have many a night where I'm lacking a tremendous amount of sleep. There are nights I'm up 3, 4, and 5 times. And that tends to get you sleep deprived. And when that happens, it is a known fact that your immune system is weakened. Now, this has come on pretty quick. Like I said, I'm still a little bit under it. I still have some congestion in my nose and a little bit down in the chest, but I'm functioning. And I'm starting to get some sleep again and feeling stronger. And I think that by the time we get through this weekend, things should be a whole lot better. I want to thank all of you that, when you probably discovered I had issues yesterday, have been praying. And so I'm thankful for each and every one of you that has prayed for me during this time. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time today on the economics of the world around us. Most of you already know the mess that our world is in when it comes to the economy. Now, here in the United States, I ran across some numbers, and this is averaging everybody, okay? So we're not, but it gives you an idea of some of the trouble that we have here in the United States. The average American has a salary of $59,000 and change per year, has a mortgage of at least $245,000, has at least almost $7,000 of credit card debt, about $23,000 or more in car loans still owed, $42,000 in home equity loans, and purchased their first home at 37 years of age, and has less than $1,000 in savings, and about $38,000 in student loans. Now, like I say, that's just the average. But here's the problem. When you look at that income, and forgetting the mortgage, when you're looking at just credit card, the average car loan and HELOCs and everything else and student loan, it's like 3 times a person's income. I can remember when I first started out in life many, many years ago. My grandparents' wisdom stayed with me for a long time. You never want to spend more than 25% of your net income on your housing. And that was wise advice. Then the world said, well, make it a third. Now it's more than half. And getting worse. At some point, you know it and I know it, there's going to be some kind of a crash or a reset, and it's going to be a real problem. Put the current tax burden into this formula and you know why nobody has anything left at the end of each month or week. And then you get people that, and I watch these people on, you know, so I try not to because I'm trying to keep my blood pressure in check. I rarely watch something like MSNBC because it's nothing but liars and idiots and propaganda artists and fools and buffoons. That's all they got. They have nothing of any substance. These are illogical people saying illogical things with a bunch of followers like lemmings who believe every word that falls out of their mouth. They think Bidenomics is great. These are the same clowns that not that many months ago, if let alone weeks ago, thought Kamala Harris was a drag on the Democrat ticket. And she'd be a liability for Joe Biden's second term. And now she's the best thing that's ever come along. I mean, in just a matter of days, they flipped and became pro-Kamala Harris. And Kamala is asked about her economic plan. She still hasn't given an answer, just platitudes. Talks about her middle-class upbringing. Yeah, part of her middle-class upbringing is in, like, Millionaire's Row in Quebec, Canada. Look it up. Her family had a lot more than she's letting on. She really is part of what we would consider today the elite. Yet her father was a leftist communist lunatic and a professor. I mean, her family is, you know, pretty dismal. And this is the woman that wants to be in charge of the United States. I pray for the sake of our nation that never happens. I really do. Because all we're going to get is a continuation of the same. And we're going to get four more years of Bidenomics. And Bidenomics, at the rate it's going, oh yeah, we got the gas prices went down a little bit, of course. We're less than 60 days out from an election. And you'll see a few things get better. Hey, we'll lower the interest rates just a little bit. All these things designed to, well, fool you into believing a lie. And I wonder how many people will believe, hey, Bidenomics is working. If you think Bidenomics works, I have some oceanfront property in Arizona on sale cheap. I really do. And a bridge in Brooklyn. I really do. I want to talk about a couple of other things today. I'm just kind of sharing a bunch of stories that I've been collecting. And before I get too far along, you know, we have to keep those that are in harm's way. This program is produced in advance, so as you listen on Thursday, depending upon the time of day you're listening, the hurricane in the Gulf of Mexico is working its way most likely to some point in the Florida panhandle. How major this hurricane is going to be yet remains to be seen. And this tropical storm, now Hurricane Helene, is forecast to rapidly intensify as it moves across the Gulf of Mexico. And these predictions are being made based on the record high temperatures that are currently being found in the Gulf of Mexico. Now, let me share some things that seems to get missed by the media. It is true. The temperatures in the Gulf of Mexico are up a bit. And they try to tell you it's just, you know, off the charts. Well, off the charts over how many decades? That's another question. But we'll leave that one alone for now. It's obliterating all the records, according to what the so-called experts are saying. But there are a couple of things that nobody is really discussing. And it needs to be said, and it needs to be thoroughly understood. There are a couple of other factors that are never discussed by the mainstream media, and even many of the, you know, the climate change activists will never touch this stuff because truth is almost like kryptonite to these people. Since hurricanes do gain energy across hot water, meteorologists predict a tropical, you know, they predict this wave, this Hurricane Helene, will supercharge and slam Florida as potentially a Category 3 and will be hitting today at some point. Hurricane forecasters also said the predicted hurricane will be big, pretty good size. In other words, at a large area, we'll see flooding rain, storm surge, and high winds, even where we live up in Virginia. And where we used to live in Georgia is going to be seeing tremendous amounts of rain. Like I say, all the articles and all the network news, they dismissively blame all the off-the-chart record-high ocean temperatures. And, of course, they always blame it on man-made carbon dioxide. They just can't help themselves. It's just a reflex. Hurricane must be man-made climate change. They try to convince us that, you know, cow methane is heating up the ocean. And it's doing it. Now that, look, that takes a tremendous amount of energy to heat a body of water that size. And it ain't happening from cow methane gas. It's just not happening. I'm sorry, but it takes a real stretch. Let me share a couple of things here that have happened and we know are happening. Over the past year, a little longer now, but this year in particular, there has been a tremendous amount of solar activity from the sun. We are seeing auroras and what have you, the likes we've never seen in ages. And that is the energy coming from the sun. You know, that big orange ball in the sky that can tan your skin or burn it. It can heat up asphalt, make it really hot. And there's something else that's been going on for quite a while. There have been some, and this happens from time to time, there is volcanic activity on the ocean floor. This happens frequently, and it comes in cycles. And right now, there have been a lot of volcanic activity way down on the ocean floor. And I want you to think, when you get some molten lava pushing up through the ocean floor at temperatures in the thousands of degrees, do you think it's going to potentially warm up the water on the surface a degree or two? Of course it will. You know, we have a gas stove here at home. I'm not trying to brag, but we do. And, you know, if I put on a pot of water to make some grits or something, I turn up that flame underneath and it takes a few minutes, but that water that was room temperature is suddenly at a really high temperature. Do you think CBS News, MSNBC, and all of the other people that are trying to talk about the warming waters, do you think somewhere between the sun and the intense solar activity that we've been seeing now for many, many months, and add to it what we do know about volcanic activity on the ocean floors in both the Atlantic and the Pacific, do you think that there is any possibility that there could be a connection to the warming temperatures on the surface? Do you think it could be anything? But no, Bob, it's got to be man-made global warming or climate change. Whatever the word of the day is, they may come up with a new one. Who knows? The amount of energy it would take to heat up a body of water like the Gulf of Mexico, the Atlantic Ocean, the Caribbean Sea, the Pacific, Indian Ocean, any of them. It's massive. And I don't see that energy being driven off through the air from the middle of America to some point in the ocean to warm it up. I just don't see how that connection can be made. But we're always told it's always got to be man that's doing it. Never can be anything else. Because, see, with climate change, you can have, you know, buffoons like Bernie Sanders running around, and every Democrat in the House of Representatives and in the Senate and across the country, the biggest existential threat is climate change. We must spend money to fix climate change. I've been hearing that for a half a century, longer actually. First, we were going to put ourselves into this, you know, man-made ice age because of man, and we're going to fix it. We must have fixed it too good because now we're going to boil to death and burn up or something. It is insidious. And the likes of the United Nations, the likes of the European Union and every global group out there, including the World Economic Forum and even, you know, for crying out loud, even the World Health Organization, the WHO, they're all bent out of shape about man-made climate change. And they want to find out how we can regulate you and me and everybody on the planet and maybe get rid of a lot of us too in the process. Then the oceans won't heat up much anymore. Then we're not going to have climate change. And the climate goes to some mythical climate that must be uniform across the world all the time and never change. Century after century or millennia after millennia. Though there's no history of that in our world, that there ever was, quote, a real average temperature, a real standard climate. It is all come and gone in cycles. And I mean, I wasn't planning to get this far today and into that topic, but it needed to be said. We're being herded around like sheep in fear of, you know, destroying our fragile planet. I've got news for you. This planet has seen a whole lot worse than it's seen in my lifetime or the last 1,000 years. And with the activity on the sun, which, by the way, we have no control over that here, nothing you did with your SUV or your gas stove or something is affecting the sun. The sun is going through a cycle right now. And I bet you it's going to continue going through cycles. And we can see, like we saw back in the 60s, a cooling period. And now coming back into a warming period and back to a cooling period. It's easy to see if you're willing to open your eyes and not just be looking at cherry-picked data. Look at a lot of data. Everything about climate change, in my opinion, has one purpose, and that is to control you. You're destroying the planet. And that's not fair to your kids and grandkids. And this is coming from people that primarily don't even have any children of their own. Ever thought about that? Some of the people that make the biggest noise about climate change don't have any kids. They have no vested interest in the future. They only have a vested interest in the here and now. Kamala Harris has a stepdaughter, but none of her own. And she wants to be president. We live in a very unusual time. Like I said, I didn't plan to get into the climate stuff as much. I have other stories that I do want to get into today. But climate change is no more, no less than just another method to have control over your life. Now, I read a story that I considered some good news the other day, that the Bank of Canada, they're shelving their plans for a digital currency because they figured out something that most of us could have told them without a whole bunch of doing research. 85% of Canadians have no interest in a digital currency and don't want to use one. Literally, 85% want nothing to do with it. 90% of Canadians, little more than 90%, think it's an intrusion on their personal life, and that the information that these banks get about your transactions is they got too much already. And even Justin Trudeau is seeing the handwriting on the walls right now, because, you know, there is a populist swing occurring, as much as the mainstream media does not want you to believe it, and they're trying to inflate numbers on polling to tell you otherwise, to dissuade you. People all over the world have had enough of the globalists. They've had enough of the World Economic Forum. They've had enough of the EU. They've had enough of the warmongers. They've had enough of the Cheneys. They've had enough of the Bushes. They've had enough of the Obamas and the Clintons and all that go with it. People are frankly just fed up. And unless you are so in the tank for your party that you can't think for yourself anymore, that you have chosen to believe the lie and ignore the truth. Our economy is unsustainable. I don't care what anybody says. And do I think it can be fixed by some politician coming in office? Not exactly. What I do believe can happen is the crash could be slowed down, but the crash is going to come. I remember that song many, many years ago from the group Blood, Sweat, and Tears, "What Goes Up Must Come Down." And I have a listener who's an airline pilot who thoroughly understands that concept. You know, eventually that plane has got to come down for either maintenance or runs out of fuel or whatever the case may be. We have an economy that is running on empty, to be quite honest. And what I mean by that is, what is it really backed up by? I mean, you can talk about these incredible numbers in the stock market. Numbers that could vanish in a day. It could vanish tomorrow. It could vanish next week. It could vanish before the election or probably after. Got to prop up Bidenomics for the time being. So you got to push it off a little farther. Kick that can down the road just a little bit more. I can remember since the 1970s listening to people, and I didn't thoroughly understand it at the time, especially when I was in high school and starting college. And starting out my life, I didn't thoroughly understand what they were trying to get through my head, but the light went off many years ago. You can't spend what you don't have. At some point, it's got to be paid back. And back when I was starting out, the national debt was in the billions. It hadn't reached a trillion. I mean, that was a number that was unheard of. And now we're $35 trillion in debt here in the United States. Probably 36 by the time this program is done. Or getting closer to it. How long can we sustain this? How long can we prop up this thing before the house of cards comes tumbling down? When I was a youngster, the U.S. dollar was backed by gold. And in 1971, Richard Nixon took us off the gold standard. I think one of the greatest mistakes we ever made. Well, the greatest mistake that the United States ever made was voting for Woodrow Wilson, who had an agenda that has sowed the seeds for the disaster that we are going to reap. Number one, he gave us the Federal Reserve and took our currency away to private bankers. It's not even owned or run by the government anymore. The Federal Reserve is about as federal government as Federal Express or federated, you know, something or anything. It's not the federal government. And we go to these people to borrow and print money. We owe them interest. We are getting to the point that all the federal taxes collected each year is barely enough and soon will not be enough to pay the national debt, just the interest. And so the debt will continue to rise to pay for government services. If you, let's put this on a personal level. If you're trying to live on an income of, let's say, I'm just going to throw a number out there. Let's say you're trying to live on $50,000 a year, but yearly expense is $100,000+ a year. How long before you run out of money? 6 months. Unless you can keep borrowing it, which was what the United States has been doing. And the world doesn't want our debt. And we've been poking so many bears, we may find out there are some nations that, you know, may go to a gold-backed currency, like BRICS, which is Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, and many other nations that have had enough. You can forget, we could discuss their politics some other day, but when it comes to economic policies, why do you want to keep buying monopoly money that only says the good faith and credit of the United States? When the people in the United States, as I mentioned just a few minutes ago, are so deeply in debt, they have no assets. Their biggest asset is debt. And that debt is not owned by you and I. Well, we own the debt. But the income of that debt is owned to basically globalist bankers. Someday they're going to pull the plug. And people just can't see it. And I don't understand it. And then, like I say, you still have globalists. Earlier this week, Sunday and Monday of this week, there was a big summit of the future held right ahead of the beginning of the United Nations General Assembly. And this evil organization, the United Nations, I'm sorry, I remember being raised to think it's a great idea, like the League of Nations before it. It's just a wonderful idea. Another Woodrow Wilson idea. Just like the direct election of senators and the income tax. In other words, back in the day, senators in the United States Senate were appointed by their state legislatures to be a firewall against an ever-fattening and enlarging federal government that would intrude upon your rights and mine and every state's rights. And it did. The firewall vanished. And now senators were wide open to any globalist organization, a major company for donations, to inherit their 6-year term. I'll talk in a few minutes. It's important. I want to talk about what the United Nations did and what they're trying to do. And also, I've got a couple of other stories that I think would be enlightening that you need to hear. People do some crazy and weird things that are not in their own interest. And then I'm going to close the program with a few thoughts about the wolves that are in sheep's clothing that are, shall we say, hijacking what used to be known as the church. And you can say, well, Bob, I'm not into that religious stuff. You better be. Because what they're planning in tandem with what the United Nations is doing is a real existential threat to you and your family and your future.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
As Truth to Ponder begins its 5th year of ministry, we enter a new era of programs and purpose. Since our inception in the summer of 2020, we have endeavored to bring you accurate and vital news and information. We have worked diligently to expose the political bias and the many lies being told by mainstream media, government officials, social media, and tech giants. Many of the stories we have shared over the past 4 years were once labeled as conspiracy theories. Today, those stories have proven true. Did those who lied to you ever apologize or acknowledge their lies? The answer is obvious. They haven't, and they won't. We are now entering one of the most critical times in the history of our world. Artificial intelligence can monitor much of what we do and say online and report it to both the government and private corporations. Artificial intelligence can create false but convincing propaganda narratives in all forms of media at lightning speed, including video and audio. Sorting truth from propaganda is getting harder to do each day. As part of our new emphasis in these historic times, Truth to Ponder will be partnering with other ministries and news sources to increase the amount of factual and needed information you must have in these troublesome times. To meet this challenge, we will vastly increase our efforts to put all of today's events and news stories in the light of God's world. We will be developing study resources and a platform that does not depend on the internet for delivery. We also pray to increase our radio footprint throughout North America and beyond. To meet this new challenge and to grow, we need your prayerful support now more than ever. Would you let others know about this program? Would you be a monthly partner with us? If you can, visit our website at truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. At our website, you can find out how to support us using Give, Send, Go, a Christian online donation processing organization. That website again, truth2ponder.com. You can also support us by making a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio. That's Ancient Word Radio. Post Office Box 510, Chilhowee, Virginia, 24319. Once again, make the check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowee, spelled C-H-I-L-H-O-W-I-E, Chilhowee, Virginia, zip code 24319. That's 24319. May God richly bless you as you help us spread the truth the world needs to hear.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you back to part two of our Thursday edition of Truth to Ponder. I'm your host, Bob Bierman. If you had listened yesterday, you know my voice was rather rough. It's getting better, and we got a good night's sleep and feeling stronger. And I think that within a day or two, this little episode will be behind me. As a general rule, I don't often get a cold or a congestion or something like this, but when I do, it does last for several days. And as I mentioned earlier in the program, my wife and I realize we've been working with a low amount of sleep for quite a long time. And when your sleep level is down and you're interrupted quite a bit, it does have a direct bearing on your immune system. And so Monday, and we've been pushing ourselves every day for literally 2 or 3 months now. Monday, instead of having just the radio program to take care of, I had to work with the tower crew to get an antenna installed. And somewhere by that afternoon, I came back. I still had more work to do for the radio station and, of course, the radio program. And I remember that evening, I started getting on Monday night just this little irritation in my throat. By Tuesday, it was awful. And by Wednesday, it was improving. And as we have gone through the day, and it's been getting better and better, and I just hope that this will be behind me, that I can get through a good church service on Sunday. I don't feel like bringing anybody else in to preach, so I need to be, you know, getting myself in order and taking better care of myself. But I feel, as I'm recording this program for you now, I feel a whole lot better than I did 24 hours ago. So give it a little bit of time. For those that live in Florida, particularly on the West Coast and Panhandle, you know, our prayers are with you as Hurricane Helene heads in your direction. And I hope that you are prepared. As many of you know, that I've spent many years in Florida. I was thinking 20 years ago, we dealt with three hurricanes that crisscrossed Florida in 2004. And then, of course, one hitting up in the Panhandle, which was Ivan. Doesn't happen every year. Of course, they try to make you believe that, you know, it's man-made hurricanes. And I remind you very quickly, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. In 2004 and 2005, and after Hurricane Katrina, we were told that it's all over. Man-made climate change has done it, or global warming back then. We've done it. The tipping point has been hit. The United States will be continually battered and virtually destroyed by bigger and badder hurricanes. Category 5. We'll need a Category 6 before it's over. Maybe a 7. And then we went through something like 10 years of nothing. The predictions were wrong. Of course, they generally are. And I'll just remind you, if you listen in the first half of the program, real quick, we've had unprecedented solar activity. And yes, there are under-the-sea volcanoes, a lot of them that are in cycles that are pushing out hot lava. It's kind of like putting, a gas flame under a pot of water. It gets warm. But nobody wants to talk about that. They're trying to convince you that it's cattle somewhere in Missouri that's heating up the ocean. Or your SUV or some other such nonsense. It's all part of a plan of control. And that's what you need to understand. You have globalists that still pull the strings. And they're pulling the strings harder and harder. Because they are also worried that they may lose some of that control going into next year. One of the stories that you didn't hear a whole lot about. Now, if you were watching any of the even conservative networks, they talked a little bit about Joe Biden's final speech to the United Nations. They did that on, Monday? Tuesday? Tuesday. His final speech. But they didn't talk about what was happening on Sunday and Monday at the United Nations. They didn't say much about it. There was a Summit of the Future 2004 held right before this year's General Assembly. And it reveals that the World Organization is moving toward adding more, shall we say, carrot and sticks to its existing and what only can be called by anybody with a rational mind, a power grab. That's it. This time it's the Pact for the Future, and they want attached to it a global digital compact as the annex. And they've adopted it. And the main component of this scheme is the action-oriented outcome doctrine. Now that's, I love how they come up with this stuff. The other being an international agreement and implementing of both driven by the United Nations is expected to start after the summit. Now, the gist of the whole thing, the purpose of the two deals is to put a positive spin and push for an immediate and as wide as possible adoption of a lot of these very controversial policies being pushed by the United Nations. They are demanding what is essentially censorship. They're calling it a disinformation crackdown. They want to make sure that governments just basically beat you up if you say anything that they disagree with. They're going to call truth disinformation if it's inconvenient truth. And this has been developing for quite a long time. We saw the war on disinformation explode back in 2020 with the pandemic. And all of a sudden, a handful of experts were the only people you were allowed to listen to or even believe. Everybody else was a misinformation, disinformation person that needed to be shut down, shut up, and canceled. Remember? There were many doctors that lost their licenses because they spoke out against the tyranny and the insanity and the fake science that was being pushed by the likes of, Dr. Little Mini Mengele Fraud Fauci. The little cockroach should be in prison, not running around making speeches. He knew full well that most of what he was telling the American people was a lie, right down to face diapering. And then the United Nations, besides wanting to control information, in other words, they, just like the Biden administration in 2021, really pushing hard on social media giants like Facebook and then Twitter, now X, to cancel, shut down, delete, minimize the speech of certain individuals that went against the orthodoxy being, well, the lying orthodoxy coming out of the so-called experts, like the Rochelle Walensky, you know, Walensky's of this world. Do you remember her? She was head of the CDC. And she told you, I have played the audio clip dozens of times, like Biden's. If you take the COVID-19 vaccine, then you will not get COVID. You will not spread COVID. And now you can take off your face diaper once you are fully vaccinated and in full compliance. It was all a lie. They had no proof, no idea, not even a guess, nothing to give them any indication that this concoction, this idea of an mRNA vaccine, could do any of what they promised. They've been looking at this stuff for almost 20 years at that point, and nothing had ever succeeded. Moderna, kind of a shady company in my personal opinion, and I'll stand by it, and here's why. They were pushing this idea of an mRNA platform to cure everything from cancer to male pattern baldness for ages. Their own website said, the mRNA technology is basically uploading software to the human body to make the human body perform the way we think the human body should perform. That's Moderna. And year after year after year, they kept promising breakthrough developments any minute now. Please invest in Moderna. And they had gotten to the point that people were beginning to wonder, will they ever come up with anything? And there's Stefan Bancel running around the world raising money. And you find out they had beautiful corporate offices and wonderful websites and all the PR stuff in the world. But they had a revolving door at their research center that people went to work there and realized, hey, this ain't working. And they'd leave, and they never could get anything to market. And then came the pandemic, Operation Warp Speed. We'll talk about that some other day. How that was used to propel these big pharmaceuticals into billions of dollars and billions of lies. That's the way I look at it. And so anybody that challenged any of this stuff, that you were you're giving disinformation, it's false news, but you can't say this. No, the virus came from a bat somewhere hundreds of miles and ended up in a wet market in Wuhan, you know, a meat market, and somehow it contaminated somebody or something, and then the world got COVID. That was a lie. Do not look at any kind of bio lab or viral lab sitting there in Wuhan. It has nothing to do with it. And then we're told that, forget that the Department of Defense of the United States had 23 biolabs and viral labs sitting in Ukraine. What's that all about? And we're told you can't talk about that stuff. That's misinformation. That's disinformation. That's like the Hunter Biden laptop. Everybody knows that was Russian disinformation. It was not true. It was some guy in Russia made all this stuff up and planted all the pictures and put it out there for the world to see and to sucker Rudy Giuliani into lying to you. No, it was the 51 intelligence agents that lied to you when they signed a letter knowing it was a big fat lie, and yet they're not held accountable. And they want to use that kind of power to tell you what you can and cannot say. They want to have this disinformation crackdown. They want more surveillance on your email and social media. They want a so-called digital public infrastructure and digital IDs as its core component, which then leads you into a digital currency that the government controls and decides what you're allowed to spend your money on. And then they use the other one, sustainable development goals, which goes hand in hand with the climate change global warming scam. Its agenda is endorsed by major countries. If it's endorsed, it will want to usher in the digital ID as well as new tools and justifications for censorship. This is what your United Nations, United Reprobates want. If it was up to me, I would get the United States out of the United Nations, and I would kick the United Nations out of Manhattan, and they can go anywhere they want. They can go to Yemen for all I care. But not around here. We want nothing to do with you. You're nothing but a clone of a failed idea of Woodrow Wilson that never should have been allowed to happen. This global digital compact and the Declaration on Future Generations are a part of this pact for the future, which, well, the adoption concludes several years of negotiations between countries and other globalist stakeholders. And those who push for this, both among politicians and the media, say it's the most significant of its kind in decades, and it's necessary to adjust the old rules and to push us into what George H.W. Walker Bush once said, the New World Order. The actual quote from the president of the United Nations General Assembly is that this lays the foundations for a sustainable, just, and peaceful global order. And it controls everything from security, climate, financing for development, digital cooperation, you name it. In other words, they want to control it. That's where we are today. And I had another story here I want to share. Got a couple. Got time to get to. This comes out of California, which is not surprising, but it shouldn't be. It's happening everywhere. A public school in California was using fifth graders. Now listen to this. Using fifth graders to groom kindergartners during a bizarre transgender assignment that included a storybook about a little boy who wears a dress. And the district refused to let parents opt their children out of this lesson. Now this happened back in May. A fifth grade teacher at La Costa Heights Elementary School read the book aloud, My Shadow is Pink, which urges children to question their own gender identity. The book features a boy who sees his shadow as pink, which the book described as your innermost you. He then decides to wear a dress to school, and his dad changes his belief and puts on a dress too. I kid you not. Public schools, yeah, you want your kids there? They're sewers. They are satanic sewers. These are dens of vipers all over the nation. The children at La Costa Heights Elementary School were forced to watch and read aloud video of a book with their kindergartner as a buddy. Notice, the fifth graders had a kindergartner buddy as part of the school's mentoring program. No, grooming program. No, molesting program. The older students had to ask the kindergartner what color represents him or her and draw the kindergartner's shadow in chalk. Though the La Costa Heights and teachers advised parents about the buddy program, they never notified parents that My Shadow is Pink would be used in that program. In fact, the entire lesson was omitted from the weekly newsletter to the parents of these kids. You notice that they never want to tell you when they're doing this reprobate stuff. They just want to do it. That ought to tell you all you need to know. Parents requested a notice and opt out for similar lessons in the future, but the district has turned down their request. It's time for you folks in that district to vote out everybody on your school board and then fire all and have a new school board that fires everybody. Just down the line, anybody that participated, out. You don't need this. You simply do not need this. Parents have the right to know what's being taught in their school, especially when that material goes against their sincerely held moral and religious beliefs. The district is attempting to evade state law that allows parents to opt their kids out of sexual education by teaching the same material in other classes. I mean, this is the game that they're playing. Now, to give you another idea of how stupid our world has become, I saw this and I just didn't even know what to think. And this happened in Indiana. You don't think this kind of stuff happens in Indiana, but it did. There is an inmate who killed a baby. He's in prison for killing a baby. And he sued to get transgender surgery. This man who killed a one-year-old, yeah, I kid you not, killed a one-year-old. He's in prison for life. But now he gets to be transformed magically into a girl because some idiotic judge decided that it was cruel and inhuman not to let him change his gender. The guy now goes by the name Autumn, Cordelloni. He killed his one-year-old stepdaughter. And he admits that the effing B word. Couldn't stand her. I killed her. But this reprobate judge thinks it's fine for Mr. has gender dysphoria serious enough that it needs medical attention. Yeah, it does. Castrate the guy. Matter of fact, better yet, you murdered a little one-year-old. He should have been put to death by now. He's only been in prison, decades, 21 years. And now 21 years later, he suddenly decides, I want to be a girl, and he wants the state of Indiana to pay for his surgery. What the state of Indiana should pay for is the electricity for the electric chair, or they should be paying for the medication to put him under permanently, or a rope to hang him. He should not be alive. Yeah, he's got a 55-year prison sentence for killing a one-year-old. There should have been a 55-cent bullet used instead, in my opinion. What are we doing? So we have an Indiana inmate convicted of the murder of a one-year-old who is proud that he killed this kid. And they want the Hoosiers to pay for his surgery. And you wonder why our world is going to hell in a handbasket. I'm serious. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that is happening. And this sickening judge, just Richard Young, you are just a reprobate. You're a stain on the law. You should be, they should burn your law license. You should burn your robe and move on and, I don't know, clean toilets somewhere in the prisons. But you have no business being on the bench. You are what is wrong with America, Judge Young. What's cruel and unusual is the fact this guy is still alive to the rest of us. And I'm looking at his picture. Guy has got a tattooed head and face. He was sentenced back in 2001. Well, the incident occurred in 2001. Why is he still alive? And why are we even talking about this? And what kind of fool do you think I am, as that old song once said? Tomorrow, if I get some time, we're going to talk about how to identify some of the false prophets and teachers in our midst. And I think that you as Christians, and even if you are not, if you're not really a Christian, you need to learn. You need to realize that there's what we really wrestle against is not politicians and politics and warmongers. We're wrestling against literally biblical proportioned principalities and powers. And once you can identify this, because look at this guy that's still on, sitting there in prison 55 years for willfully killing a one-year-old stepdaughter and proud of it. And then you have a judge that wants to let him, get his body altered to become a female. Only demons could get you to believe such lies. We are fighting a war. against principalities and powers. This is why we do this radio program every day. And even, I mean, like I say, we barely got through yesterday. Today, here we are. We're making it through. And I'm praying tomorrow will even be better. And then we're back to normal by next week. I debated, you know, I'm sick. Maybe I should, you know, find someone else to do it. I did the best that I could for yesterday. I did take kind of a day. But the issues that we face each and every day are just way too important to be let go. And that's why I come to you every time I do the program and I ask for your financial support. If you believe in our mission and ministry, would you consider helping us today for the first time? You can visit our website, truth2ponder.com, truth2ponder.com, or make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowee, Virginia, zip code 24319. Once again, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowee, Virginia, 24319. Once again, P.O. Box 510, Chilhowee, Virginia, 24319. That's 24319. And we will see you again tomorrow.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.
This is Ancient Word Radio.